words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I want to talk to you a little bit about hope. Proverbs says that hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. And Hebrews says that hope is the anchor of our soul. Hebrews also says that what faith is the substance of things that you've been hoping for. So if you don't walk in hope, you're not going to ever walk in faith. It's the seed, that's the soil from which the fruit of faith comes forth. There's an interesting thing about hope, because hope always gives birth to joy. If you know a joyless person, it's because they're a hopeless person. I think it's Romans 12, I forget what scripture it says, rejoicing in hope. Joy and rejoicing always result of a lifestyle of hope. I wrote this down in my coloring book, my Bible. It says, hope equips us, hope equips you with an attitude that attracts astounding solutions. Let me read it to you again, or say it to you again. Hope equips you with an attitude that attracts astounding solutions. Of course, God is always the source of those solutions. But there's something about a person who walks in hope, because they're also walking in faith. But, you know, hope, again, doesn't mean to wish for something. The biblical word hope means a confident expectation, an anticipation. So not a wishful optimistic, but a confident expectation and anticipation. And it's amazing that the people who I know who walk in hope seem to live in an atmosphere of astounding supernatural solutions all the time. This is a scripture in the last few years that has become one of my favorite ones. I've quoted it a lot. It's from Romans 15, verse 13. And I'm going to read it to you grammatically, the way it's written in the original language, so you kind of get the feel of what he says here. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in the believing, into the abounding in you of the hope in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, what you don't want to do is think of this in terms of a God out there somewhere, or a God up there in heaven, sort of like 5,000 miles south of Jupiter, wherever that is. That this God of somehow like give you hope. And may the God of hope fill you. What you have to remember is that you and I are in union with the Holy Spirit. With Christ. We're in union with Christ. And therefore, the God of hope, who does live in the heavenly realm, is also in union with you. And so when he talks about the God of hope filling you with all joy, he's not talking about opening up the windows of heaven and then opening the top of your head up and then pouring that into you. He's talking about the God of hope that we're in union with, filling us from the inside with joy. We've used this verse a lot, these few verses, last few days, to remind us of this relationship with him and how this works. We live by the faith of the Son of God. So let me just quote Galatians 2 again, the way it's written, and the King James gets this one right. For I am crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And as we mentioned last night, for those who were here at our Wednesday night thing, faith never starts with what you believe. Faith always begins with what he believes. And then you simply come into agreement with what he believes. So the issue is, if you're facing any situation, does Jesus have faith for that? It says, even if we believe not, he abides faithful because he cannot deny himself. Does Jesus have faith that he's big enough for this situation? And if he has faith for them, for that, then you can rest in his faithfulness. That's your part in faith. When you face a situation that seems to be creating a lot of anxiety, the only question is, Jesus, do you have peace about this thing? And if he has peace about it and he lives in you, you can abide in his peace. Do you have wisdom for this, Lord? If you have wisdom for this, then it's irrelevant. If right this moment I don't, I can trust you. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 1:30, that he became to us wisdom. The Christian life's a person, and all that that person is in me. For again, I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing, every. I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Because I'm in Christ and Christ is in me, therefore I get to experience all the wonders of the mind of Christ, the peace of Christ, the faith of Christ. And so when he says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy, this is what I mean by hope equips us with an attitude that attracts astounding solutions. It's not whether you can work up intellectual reasons to have hope. Does he have hope? He's the God of hope. He never does without hope. He's never pessimistic about anything. Pessimism is not a personality type. It's a sin. Negativism, cynicism is not a personality type. It's a sin that robs you. It's a thief. The God that you're in union with has hope. He's the God of hope. He can't be anything but hopeful. He has confident expectation, the God of hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Because if you're walking in hope, if you're abiding in his hope, if you're abiding in his hope, then you're being filled with joy and peace. Because if you're full of hope, you're not worried about anything. Doesn't mean you're not facing certain things. Doesn't mean there aren't battles. But does God have hope in that battle? And if you'll come into agreement with his hope, he'll fill you with all joy. Not a little joy. And again, joy is not a personality type either. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in what? In believing. In believing what? In what he believes. You may not know how he's going to do it. You may not know what it's going to look like, but the solution is going to be astounding. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in the hope. And the word there is that you may perpetually abound in the hope, in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's something that he does in you. Simply because you believe in what he has hope for. Or the fact that he has hope for this. Or he has hope in this. This is a great scripture that describes supernatural Christianity. You know, this will be the third time I've done this little poem that kind of is the favorite poem for most Bible-believing Christians. When in trouble or in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout. Or when Liv and I first got married, we would have this discussion sometimes. And so one of the ones that I would tell her that she hated so much was, the worried cow would have lived till now if she had only saved her breath. But she feared her hay wouldn't last all day, so she mooed herself to death. She's probably frowning at me even as we speak. See, again, the issue is that, I mean, I don't know what this looks like in each of our personalities, but it's still, you may be a quiet person, you may be a very effervescent person, that's irrelevant. It's the God of hope who lives in you. And if you'll just believe in what he believes in, you'll abound in hope. You'll be filled with all hope and all joy, continually abounding in hope because it happens in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's just a miracle. It's a miraculous life. Which, of course, is what the Christian life is after all, isn't it? Miraculous. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.